Skip the ramen noodles. Don't even think about a frozen pizza. It's time to find out where you'll enjoy some drinks and dinner tonight.
Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
On KNST.
Oh, fellow foodies, love is in the air this weekend. Our last broadcast before Valentine's Day, this show that we have dialed up for you for the entire hour this Saturday at 4 o'clock is all about love in all of its manifestations, whether that's a great meal or a great cocktail or a great glass of wine or some champagne or perhaps even someone coming in here to the studio bringing some lovely food for us to try. We've got a great hour set for you here on this pre-Valentine's Day edition of On the Menu Live, whether you're listening to us now on AM 790 or maybe you're one of those that listens to our website, streaming live, www.onthemenulive.com. Maybe you're one of those who are listening intergalactically through the iHeart radio stream. We are so glad you're here, and we are about ready to get things kicked off with our celebrity co-host. Now, when we're thinking about love and love in the air, you know, we want to have people come on this show that are all about love, and they love wonderful food, and they love wonderful drinks. And there's a woman here that I love to eat with, and I love to drink with, and I thought we would celebrate the love that we, in fact, might have for many of the same things. The food writer of the Tucson Weekly and the well-fed foodie on Facebook, Rita Conley, is back in the studio.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Nice to see you on this pre-Valentine's Day show.
Pre-Valentine's, indeed.
Well, you know, how should we begin this Valentine's Day broadcast? I mean, what do you think?
Some bubbly. I think we should start with some bubbly.
Some bubbly it is. You know, your wish is my command, Rita Conley. I've chosen a lovely bottle of La Marca Prosecco. Now,
Prosecco.
In the world of bubbly, you know, I tend to like the Proseccos. This one, I'm excited. Now, this is live radio, Rita.
All right.
We're actually going to do this right here and now.
Beautiful.
Isn't that gorgeous? So as I pour the bubbly to celebrate Valentine's Day, which is less than a week away, what's been keeping you busy on the food and beverage scene?
Well, my job, working for the Weekly, doing my reviews, we've been doing a lot of that lately. And, of course, the well-fed foodie, and that keeps me pretty busy. And, you know, just any excuse to go out to lunch or dinner, that's always a good thing, you know. And since there's so many new places to try lately, it seems like it's just... It's hard to keep up.
Well, you know, I love the well-fed foodie on Facebook. I mean,
every
time I go to your page, even if I've just finished a meal, if I see one of these great photos that you've taken on your trips around the community, it's just you're such a gifted photographer as a writer.
Well, thank you. You know, it's magic because I it's the food. I always want to be better, you know, but I look at myself sometimes and go, wow, that really pretty good looking food, Rita, you know, and it's the food. It's not me. I swear.
Oh, she's so humble. Listen,
that's me.
Well, let's toast to a beautiful Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you
as
we have this great Prosecco. Let's give it a shot here. Yeah, so that's just love right there, isn't it?
Italian, yeah.
This is some wonderful apple and some peach and some honeysuckle coming off of that Prosecco. Absolutely love it. Now, I don't know how many times I've said the word love, but we're playing the John Farlow game. John Farlow, one of our recurring celebrity co-hosts, actually is at home tonight, and he's actually has a little game. And every time he hears the word love, something about a cocktail, Rita.
Yeah.
So I hope John Farlow's not going far from home today because we're going to be talking a lot about love here.
Good. I'm ready. I am ready.
But anyway, going from a lovely champagne to all the things that you're covering here in the Tucson Weekly, what are you writing about these days?
Again, always something new and different. And I'm looking forward to, I can't tell you, of course, where I'm going to be going in the near future, but there's really a lot of good places happening. You know, it just keeps going on and on, and I love that people talk to me. I mean, last week we were up at Union, and we got to talk to Jack Tate up there. And
love
he's
him.
Talking, he's just,
love Chef Jack Tate.
Well, he's very passionate about what he wants, you know, and people, I think on the Well-Fed Foodie one day, somebody asked me, you know, well, you know, where do you like to go? And I said, Union. And they went, the Well-Fed Foodie likes to go to Union? And we do, because the food is very good there. You know, it's reliable. And it doesn't matter what you have. You know, you can have the pretzels or those potato chips with blue cheese.
The blue cheese,
you know,
chips.
I mean, holy cow, you know. And
exactly.
It's great because if we're talking about love, it's a great place to share food. It's just a fabulous place to share, you know. And it works really well. And I'm really excited about their new venture. I don't know much about it, but I'm really excited about that happening.
Yeah, they're going to be opening up in September. They were on the show a couple of weeks ago. Breaking news.
Okay.
The restaurant's actually going to be called Reforma.
Reforma?
Mexico City inspired, kind of southern Mexico, central Mexico food. And Grant Kruger and Steve Stratigoulis over there. Great guys, great restaurateurs, wonderful hosts.
Oh, totally.
I mean, every time we walk into Union, it's just a great experience.
Oh, totally. And it's it's neat because it's a kind of crowd for any kind of crowd. You know, we were there. We went to see Leo Kottke a couple weeks ago, and we went there before dinner, I mean for snacks, you know, and we had a couple of things. And then we thought, well, where do you want to go afterwards? We went, oh, let's go back to Union. So we went back to Union, and we had one of their flatbreads, and it was just really fun, you know. And it was a different crowd. I mean, at dinner time, it was a little bit more sedate, a little older. And then by Friday night at 10 o'clock, it was, you know.
Boomtown.
Well, we could have been, I mean, we were kind of like the older people in there. And we were definitely there. We were partners. I mean, we're married. We've been married for 36 years, you know.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Why isn't your husband sitting right here with you drinking champagne?
You know, next time, we'll bring him with me because he's lots of fun. He really is lots of fun, and he's got a really great radio voice. So I think he'd be really good.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. That's perfect. Well, you know, speaking of, you know, new restaurants out, I had the opportunity to get a sneak peek at the new Knox, N-O-X, Knox Kitchen and Cocktails.
Tell me about
over
it.
Over on Skyline, just east of Campbell.
Right.
In the old Jasper space.
Again.
And you know, I would just encourage all of our fellow foodie listeners to go give Knox a try. They just opened up yesterday for the first time, and I want, if you remember that old Jasper space, and I love Jasper. Jasper was a great place to go, great happy hour. Yep. But just forget everything you know about Jasper, because when you walk into Knox, I mean, it is a fundamentally different experience than you remember Jasper being. I mean, from the design, to the music, to the cuisine, to the cocktails, they've really completely redone the outside bar, and it really has become kind of the epicenter of the space.
It's a beautiful
just
view.
Gorgeous.
I mean, gorgeous view. I mean, you couldn't ask for more. Again, romantic view, I suppose. You know, if we're talking about romance here, that's probably a really great thing. You know?
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And it considering it's the roots of it, it's going to be really, it's really should bring some really good food. I want to go. I mean, it's just a matter of
why don't you and I go together?
Okay. All right.
Let's get a date on the books to do that.
All right. Okay. And we'll bring our spouses and we'll have a really good time.
Okay. That sounds like a great idea.
Okay.
And we'll have to share that date on the air because then everybody is going to follow us.
Okay. Of course they are.
To see exactly what we're going to be eating and drinking.
Okay.
I had something called the Brooklyner or the Brooklyn, which is kind of their take on a Manhattan with a great rye. The cocktails there are exquisite. You know, part of the menu is, what do they call it? The boozy side of the cocktail, and some are sort of the rain. And laid back cocktails, just really, really good stuff.
Okay, well, don't talk to me about rye, though. Don't talk to me about rye.
Wait, not rye? Oh, how did I miss that in your interview process for celebrity co-host?
No, not rye.
Everybody has a rye story, right?
Yes, exactly. If you can remember it, that's just it. If you can remember it.
So anyway, we've got about another minute left before we go to a commercial break. But, you know, you talked about you can't announce where you're going to be going for obvious reasons.
Obviously.
When Rita Conley walks in the door, now, do you have to, like, wear Groucho Marx glasses?
I'm in disguise right now. I'm in disguise right now.
So I don't even know what you...
You don't know what I look like. No, you know, I have a look. You know, I do. I went out and bought myself a little outfit, I guess, a little a costume, you know, and I can't tell you what that looks like, but, you know, it's good for a laugh.
I love it.
It doesn't look like me at all. wink, 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 you know.
And how does the Tucson Weekly do it? So you go to a place twice?
Twice. And and two people, so basically four meals, okay? And, you know, Dan makes up a list, split between Jackie and myself, usually. He's been doing one of them every now and then.
Right.
And then Dave Mendes has been picking up a couple, and then you know, every now and then when something falls through, but it's, you know, it's really, and it's been fun, you know, and there's some really good stuff coming up. There really is a lot of good stuff. Some, you know, some older restaurants that we're reviewing, which I think is a
great,
fabulous, fabulous idea, you know,
because, absolutely.
You know, when you think about some of the ones on our chow list are really old, you know, and it's really nice that we're doing re-reviewing restaurants.
I think that's a great attitude to have.
You know, in fact, Wildflower, which I reviewed a while back, was one of the first re-reviews, you know.
So, and you had a great experience there, from what I remember.
It was a fabulous experience, you know. So I'm glad that they're still doing well, you know what I mean?
That's great.
That kind of thing. And, you know, chefs change, menus change. It should be, you know, I know we're constrained. I mean, there's certain constraints that we have.
Yeah.
But it's still at the same time. It's great to, you know, there's so many new things. But there's a lot I need to do, a lot of
Things, well, we love reading your work in the Tucson Weekly each and every week. We're talking to Rita Conley, our celebrity co-host for the full hour from the Tucson Weekly and from the Well-Fed Foodie on Facebook. If you're keeping up with John Farlow, I've said the word love five times, or so he says. But anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the romance of tea. You don't want to miss this. You're listening to On the Menu Live on AM 790 KNST. Stick around.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from KNST AM 790 here with my celebrity co-host for the full hour, food writer for the Tucson Weekly and the well-fed foodie on Facebook. Rita Conley is back with us. Always so much fun hanging out with you.
It's I love hanging out with you too, Matt. It's lots of fun. Lots of good gossip, good food talk, you know, just cocktails. What the heck?
Doesn't get any better than that. You know, right. we're, as we talked about, this is our last broadcast before Valentine's Day. And when you're thinking about when the nights are cool and you're sitting around by the fire, cuddling up with the one you love. I always love doing that at home with my wife with a lovely pot of hot tea. I just love that. Just an absolutely romantic encounter. And then there are those, Rita Conley, that say, you know, I love cuddling up with my loved one by the fire with a nice cocktail. And our next guest, Ashley, says that you could do one and the same. And here to talk all about that, live from the great state of New York, representing a great company called Palais d'Été, Aurélie Bessier. Bonjour, Aurélie.
Hello, bonjour. Thank you, Matt. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm doing really well. And let me just ask, how's my French, Aurélie? How did that sound?
That's perfect. Très bien.
Great.
Très bien. I'll listen to you, Rita Conley. Anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun with you on this show. You know, we're big tea fans here on The Menu Live. And, you know, you can't pick up a newspaper or a magazine these days and not read a story about the health benefits of tea and all the wonderful things that tea can do for your body, for your mind, and in fact, even your spirit. And we're actually going to be talking about what you can do with tea when it comes to a cocktail coming up in a few minutes. But let's get to know Aurélie Bessier a little bit better in Palais d'Été. Give us an idea of what you're up to there at Palais d'Été in New York.
Well, Palais d'Été was a company started by my uncle 30 years ago in Paris because he discovered tea and became passionate about it. And I'm here in the U.S. with my husband to develop the brand and, you know, introduce Americans to our tea. Basically, we select them, we taste them on sites in Asia mainly, and then we buy them and bring them directly fresh to our stores for our customers. So we have fresh, rare teas, and we have our own signature blends, like the one you have, I'm sure, in front of you, like Te Deux Amants or Florida Geisha, which are very popular and appeal a lot to Americans here.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, we are going to be making a tea tail. I believe we're going to be making a green tea, geisha green tea, cherry margarita that is made with this wonderful tea. So we're going to be shaking up some cocktails right here in the studio. But did I hear you say that you were actually going over to Asia personally and inspecting the leaves and bringing home really what you believe at Palais d'Été to be the best tea around?
Yes, absolutely. My uncle, who's still running the company, who's the founder and still running it, is every other month in Asia and elsewhere with a few team of persons, testers and buyers, and we visit all our suppliers there. We check the working conditions, we check and taste the quality of the tea, and then we select the ones that we think are the best.
Absolutely love it. Now, when you've got this full spectrum of teas, like you said, from kind of the tea for the beginner, for the novice, for someone just beginning to explore this wonderful world of tea, all the way over to the other side of the spectrum, Aurélie, where you have these teas that are really sourced and designed and meant for real tea enthusiasts. Let's talk a little bit about each side of the spectrum. So is there a particular tea, Aurélie, that comes to mind for those that are listening to this show that have really never explored the world of tea and want a good and comfortable and confident place to start? What kind of tea do you suggest for these guys?
Yeah, well, there is tea for everybody, whether you're new to tea or whether you're really like difficult expert of tea. So if you're used to coffee and if you want to start with something in tea, I'd suggest a strong black Assam tea from India or maybe something more smooth and rounder mouth-feeling from China. So I would start with a black tea, either from India or China. That's definitely a good switch from coffee. And if you're more used to juices, sodas, or flavored water, I would definitely go for a flavored green or black tea. You choose the flavor you like, whether it's berries or jasmine or ginger, and you find a blend of tea with these flavors, and it's a really good start.
That sounds absolutely beautiful. Rita, are you a tea drinker?
No, well, I'll be honest with you, not really. I'm much more of that coffee, caffeine kind of rush thing in the morning, you know. But I have a question. How do we get the flavored teas? How does that happen?
Well, it's a very good question. you select the right tea. You need to find the right balance between the tea and the flavor. We, of course, only use all natural flavors, so fruits, flowers, spices. Then we work on our own homemade recipe. It's a bit like baking. You need to find the right balance between the right and find the right tea and the right tea, the right leaves, and then see how it mixes with the fruits and flowers. And then when we have the right recipe, you know, you put them together, the fruits and flowers give their scent or taste to the tea, and then you have your blend. And that's it. You can prepare it hot or iced and enjoy it.
Iced tea is more my speed, I think. I think I'm more of an iced tea kind of person. But that's, I think, comes from being in the desert. You know, we have so much
yes.
here.
Exactly. You know, and I want to be the first to say, maybe not the first, maybe the thousandth person to say, you can absolutely tell the difference between one of these, you know, signature premium teas that Aurelie is talking about and the tea that you get in a box on aisle 7 at the supermarket. I mean,
thank you, Matt.
Do yourself a favor. I mean, it's almost like olive oil, Rita. You know, we have Tom Alfonso on the show from time to time.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got premium, fresh olive oil that it tastes so much different than what you buy in the grocery store. So if there's anything that we can leave our listeners with in this segment here is give real signature premium tea a try. Even do a taste test with what you buy at the store, and I can promise you, fellow foodies, you're absolutely going to tell the difference.
Absolutely. If I may, Matt, actually, you know, it's funny because at our stores, or a lot of people come in and we're offering green tea sometimes, and they say, oh, no, I don't like green tea. It's bitter. But that's one of the first thing. Green tea is not bitter. Most of the time, your green tea is bitter just because you're boiling the water is too hot, or you're forgetting your tea bags or your loose leaf in your tea, and then it turns bitter. So for all of us that are listening and that think that green tea is bitter or they don't like green tea, well, maybe you can start by just preparing tea differently. Don't boil the water. Don't forget your tea. Be careful of the steeping time. And I'm sure you're going to rediscover something completely different. And then, of course, using the best quality, it, you know, makes the difference.
Well, one of the things we're about to rediscover is how tea fits along the line of cocktails. And we're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a sponsor. But, Aurelie, I want you to hang out with us because we're going to be trying some margaritas that I want you to tell our audience about. And we can't do without you, so hang out with us. We're going to take a quick commercial
Absolutely.
Break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to On the Menu live on AM 790 KNST. Stick around.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio, and it's only here on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from the intergalactic headquarters of KNST AM 790 here with my celebrity co-host, Rita Conley. Having a great time?
Yes, I always. This is one of my favorite hours of my life. You know, I love it.
One of your favorite hours of your life. Have I reached that place in your life, Rita Conley?
Yes, Matt.
Anyway, we are about ready to dive headfirst into a great cocktail, a cocktail the likes of which, fellow foodies, I don't think you have ever experienced. And here to introduce us to the protocol and to the passion for how to incorporate wonderful signature premium tea into your next cocktail, representing this great tea company from New York, Palais de Thé. She's back with us, Aurelie Bessier. Aurelie, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're talking about signature premium teas from Palais de Thé. And I actually have made a batch of this wonderful green tea geisha cherry margarita. And I'm actually, if you can actually hear the shaking, Aurelie, this is live radio. I want you to understand this is live radio. We're going to be putting
I'm
a picture.
You.
Like a professional, man.
We're going to put a picture of these wonderful cocktails up on our Facebook page here in just a moment for you to experience. But as we are pouring the tea tail, this wonderful cherry margarita, why don't you give us a sense, Aurelie, of the kinds of flavors that have come into this beverage and how they've all incorporated, and especially the role that tea plays in this delicious cocktail?
Yes, well, it's very simple. The idea of tea tails and then this one in margarita is just to give a little twist to your usual margarita. And so, first of all, if you want to do it, you prepare the tea. You make sure not to boil the water. You prepare your green tea, Florida Geisha green tea, for 3 minutes, and then you let it cool. Then you prepare your margarita. I like to add a little sugar, a little ginger in the sugar to for the rim of the glass. And when your margarita is ready, you add the tea, you shake it, and that's it. You have a little twist, a very nice flavor that you have to try now, Matt, and tell me what you think.
Okay, so we've done this to the tea, no pun intended. We actually have the rims of the glasses lined with this ginger sugar dusting. We've got this wonderful fresh fresh-squeezed orange juice, fresh-squeezed lime juice, a little bit of agave syrup, a little bit of splash of triple sec, some beautiful Blanco Silver tequila, and fresh cherry juice.
I want to be with you.
Absolutely. I mean, this is just an incredible cocktail. And we are using, what kind of tea are we using in this beverage?
You're using a green tea flavored with cherry blossom.
The aroma is stunning.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So right from the beginning, we've got the nose of this cocktail. We like to begin the enjoyment of a cocktail with just looking at the color and really getting a sense of the aroma and the color. What a perfect beverage for Valentine's Day.
Totally. Exactly right.
Exactly, because it's going to have this dark, like, red, violet. I don't know how to describe the color, but it's really nice. It's reddish.
Beautiful, beautiful ruby red. And I'm going to taste it, Rita. So cheers.
Cheers.
How do we say cheers in French, Orly?
My exact question.
Santé.
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 You have to say santé. You know, you can just tell me to stop anytime, Orly. I mean, if I'm no, taking
please,
this whole
I
thing.
I love to hear French.
Okay, so here we go.
Wow, that's really great.
Mm. Mm. Oh, boy.
So you could drink this and people wouldn't even know that you were drinking alcohol. You could, you know, fool people, hang out. People think you're drinking tea.
So, and one of the things that I want to say, first of all, I could drink a big gulp size of this. This is just a gorgeous cocktail. And I'm thinking this is something that you could make at home. And Orly, I think the recipes are available on your website for these great tea tales.
Absolutely, on paladita.com, and more recipes to come. So please check. And by the way, this cherry margarita, you can actually do it frozen as well if it's too hot where you are. You can just, instead of just pouring the tea in the margarita, you can actually do ice cubes with the tea and with the cherry juice. And then you mix all that in a blender and you get a, you know, delicious frozen version of this margarita.
I want to go to the Bessie A house this weekend.
This is sort of like a black cherry soda for grown-ups.
Exactly.
I mean, there's not the effort, you know, there's not the bubbly part of it, but it's really good. This would go down so easily.
I love that hint of ginger that comes from the rim that it incorporates and balances so beautifully with the earthiness of that tea and the tartness of those cherries. And I was even about ready to suggest early that that this is a cocktail that you could make at home and don't tell anyone there's tea in it.
Right.
See, just watch the expressions on people's faces because they know you've thrown in a secret ingredient and they know it's
exactly.
They just can't place it. I mean, I think what a great idea this is to entertain at home with these great details.
You're going to look like a cocktail genius, you know, the greatest bartender ever. People are going to be like, what did you put inside? I'm like, secret ingredients.
So now you mentioned a couple of times how we don't want to boil the water, and I think this is one of the biggest myths.
Yeah.
I grew up boiling water
for
tea. What's up with not boiling water?
Well, it's just that for many teas, when you boil the water, basically the water is too hot. It's kind of burning the leaves. And so in terms of taste, you can get some bitterness. So, I mean, some people like bitterness. Most people don't. So if you don't want any bitterness in your tea, start by just not boiling the water. And then also you can get some, you know, astringency, some rasping effect in the mouth, stronger than, you know, what the tea usually tastes. So if you don't want that, try with your usual tea and see how it is. Maybe you're going to rediscover, you know, your current tea. And also, I mean, again, steeping time is really something to mind, especially for green teas, which are more delicate. They usually don't steep for more than 1 to 3 minutes. You can go up to 4 to 5 minutes for black teas, for instance. But do check, for instance, on all our products, we do indicate like the ideal water temperature and steeping time. So do check for that and see how it is. You're going to see the impact. You can, you know, try at home and see the difference. You will feel it.
A question. So when you say don't boil, do you take the hot water to what level? What is there a temperature or how does that work?
Yes. So it depends how you boil the water. If you're using a pot, you can stop it when you see the small bubbles coming up.
Okay.
If you're using a kettle, there are great electric kettle out there from Breville or Cuisinart where you can actually control the water temperature. But if you don't have that and you have a standard electric kettle, just stop the kettle, you know, when you hear some noise but it's not boiling yet.
Okay.
That will be perfect for green tea.
Absolutely.
Because it's almost boiling point.
Orly Bessier from Palais des Thés. We want to encourage
all of our fellow foodie listeners
to check
Thank
her out
you.
Online. We're going to put your website up on our Facebook page.
Give you,
premium tea a try with Palais des Thés in New York. Anyway, Orly, thanks so
Thank
much.
You.
We're going to be
Have a great evening.
Quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Spice up your Saturday night. He'll tell you where to have fun tonight. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
Welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from KNST here with my celebrity co-host, food writer with the Tucson Weekly and the well-fed foodie on Facebook, Rita Conley, having a great time with that cherry margarita.
Oh, this is fabulous. Like I said, you can get away with, people wouldn't even know you were drinking alcohol.
Yeah. Honest officer.
Really, really, really.
It's cherry limeade.
I had the three teas, honest officer.
Well, we've experienced a lot of love in the studio in the first half of the show. We had some great La Marca Prosecco from Italy, wonderful, some bubblies getting the broadcast started. We spoke with the lovely Aurélie Bessier from Palais de Thé.
I learned something, which I think is fabulous. You know, I love that. I love that about this job. About, you know, you do always time. I'm always learning something new.
Always learning something. You know what? And every time I walk into Wildflower American Cuisine over there on Island Oracle, I always learn something.
Me too.
And you know, there's the gentleman from whom I do most of my learning in the culinary arts, a man who absolutely needs no introduction to this crowd, the executive chef from Wildflower, getting ready to celebrate a big Valentine's dinner, the Honorable Omar Huerta. What's up, chef?
Hi, Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I just love having you on the show.
Well, thank you.
I think you had about 5 date propositions the last time you were on.
Is that right?
I mean, the phone didn't stop ringing. Now, I have to ask you, still available, sir? Or are you absolutely?
I am not available.
Oh,
I'm
see,
sorry.
One of our callers, I think, is now a very special person in Omar Huerta's life. So let me ask you this, Omar. Yeah. My guess is that that Fox Restaurant Concepts is probably not going to give you Valentine's Day off.
No. Yeah, I've got quite a bit of work to do right up until that day.
So we're going to be talking a little bit about what you have up your sleeve for Valentine's Day. And I think, as we said in our email newsletter, and I should remind all of our listeners, if you're not getting our newsletter every Wednesday, you need to get it, because you're the first people to know who's going to be on our show, where we're going to be broadcasting from, who's giving away free stuff, great free food and cocktails, and always enter chances to win all kinds of fun contests. Go to onthemenulive.com and sign up to receive our newsletter. We don't sell it. We don't rent it. We don't do anything. It's only me and only me that sends that out. Rita, you get the email on a weekly basis.
And it's, you know, I click on it right away and I find out what the heck's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, as we said in this week's newsletter, you know, there are a few romantic places that Nancy and I really love to go to. But, you know, think Wildflower. It really has this aesthetic of romance all about it. And what is it about this space, Omar Huerta, that you think has consistently been year in and year out among the top romantic destinations in Tucson?
You know, it's really intimate. You and your significant other have a really great time. It's warm. It's modern. It's constantly changing. There's a little bit of excitement there.
Yeah, exactly. The color scheme.
It Sam Fox Blue.
Sam Fox Blue. Yeah. I like it. Now, the table number, I don't know what it is, but it's when you walk in, it's that far booth on the far back right-hand side.
Mm-hmm. The corner booth.
Yeah, can we just call that the Russell booth from now on?
You got it.
And if I come in and when the Russell booth is occupied, is there like a gentle way, sir, that you can relocate whoever's sitting in that booth?
The chair or something? Yeah. Sure.
Exactly. So when we're thinking about romantic cuisine, Omar Huerta, you know, people go out for Valentine's Day and, you know, they have their ideas for what they're going to expect from a culinary perspective. How does a chef begin to prepare what a menu looks like that just oozes romance?
We want to design it so it's something craveable, something that you want, that you're thinking about after you leave. And, you know, just something that you, something desirable.
Craveable, you know? And something desirable that you're thinking about. Craveable. Oh, my gosh.
I love that word.
Cuisine can be craveable.
It can.
Can we write that down, Rita?
That's just... You know, where does the E go? Do you get rid of the E? I don't know.
That's right. We have a writer in the house, right? Omar. So what are some ideas, what are some examples of craveable cuisine?
Well, what we have here is our tomato burrata. It's one of our starters.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a mozzarella filled with cream. Very rich, but it has a great finish with that heirloom tomato, a little truffle vinaigrette on the mixed greens.
All right, so you have to describe the burrata again. Okay, did you say it's mozzarella filled with cream?
Yes. So you get that firm, like, pop when you...
And it's all made right there.
Yes. We make everything in-house, even our pastas. But it's great. If you haven't had it, I suggest you really try it.
Burrata is one of my favorites, absolutely.
Finish with a little bit of sea salt.
My gosh, so burrata, romantic, rich, craveable cuisine. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen burratas on pizzas. I've seen burrata on, you know, and this is just a beautiful serving of burrata on a beautiful chef's board with some lovely greens. And there's some heirloom tomatoes there as well.
Uh-huh.
Yellow tomatoes, mind you.
Yellow tomatoes.
Too bad we don't have, that's not television. This would be great.
Well, we are going to be posting pictures of the burrata. The oozing burrata from the very delicate and capable hands of Chef Omar Huerta at Wildflower. Absolutely a great place to start. So is this an idea of what is going to be available on the Valentine's menu?
Yes, that's actually going to be on our Valentine's menu. As well as the other item that's in front of you right here.
Oh,
It's our old classic.
You had to do it, didn't you?
Yeah. You want to talk about Craveable? Our bar of sin.
Okay. So if I could get a picture of that before Rita Connolly dives in with her fork, that will be. We're going to start with the burrata.
All right.
But before we do our tasting, now you have one seat left.
Yeah. I think it's after 9 p.m.
Okay. Well, you know, we've got a lot of folks that wait until after 9 o'clock.
Right.
You know, I want everyone else to sort of the loud, noisy people, you know, have them go off. But talk a little bit about the menu for Valentine's Day. I mean, you've got like a three-course show-stopping lineup of romantic cuisine. Talk about your menu.
I think we're trying to go for everything you've ever thought of wildflower. You know, Craveable, we'll keep coming back to that word. It's every item on there, we want you leaving thinking about it. Can't wait to come back.
See, that's a smart show.
So we got Dungeness crab chowder, smoked salmon with that potato galette and the creme fraiche. Okay. There has to be creme fraiche on a Valentine's menu.
Yes.
Creme fraiche and burrata together on one piece of paper. If anyone could do that, it's Omar Huerta. You know, farmer's market salad. Again, you know, last time we were on the show, we really talked about your philosophy there at Wildflower, and it's probably a philosophy kind of enterprise-wide among all of the Fox restaurants, your dedication to sustainability and really using local when you can. I saw a piece profiling you on Arizona Public Media on Arizona Illustrated.
Right.
Actually showed you kind of walking around the local farmers markets and buying chorizo and inspecting the fruits and vegetables, and you're getting out of the kitchen and seeing what's available here in Southern Arizona.
Yeah, you know, going to farmers markets is a great way to get ideas and new flavors and talk to the farmers and see, you know, the product that they have and how special it is.
Well, you finally have a lot of them in town, too. All of a sudden, you know, for a while, there was just one, you know, and if you were lucky to get there, you know. Now they're all over town.
Yeah.
They're really great products. People are really, really into
it. Yeah, and I encourage any up-and-coming chef to go out there and give it a shot. Talk to the farmers. You know, they really open your eyes and present you with new ideas.
Well, sometimes you can get stuff that's not at the market.
Exactly.
You?
Definitely.
So the first course is, again, the black mussels with the spicy chili, so absolutely love it. Second course, okay, so here's where, you know, the entrees shine. This is the part of the of the evening where you and your loved one just, you know, begin to sort of play footsies together.
Okay, footsie.
You know, I mean, the appetizer sort of, you know, bring you in. It's the invitation to the culinary encounter.
Second
course.
You're on your second
cocktail, or the third, Matt and Nancy Russell. You know, steelhead salmon with a horseradish gratin. Sherry glazed beets. Beets are on menus again.
Right.
I mean, where did that come from,
it's
Omar?
It's a great, great fall and winter vegetable. It lends itself to so many different things. We glaze it. We do a little thing to it. Glaze it with a sherry gastrique, and it almost candies the beets.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have eaten a beet as a kid for and if people had paid me, I wouldn't have eaten a beet.
Right.
No, I absolutely love that.
Same way. I think a beet is it's a best kept secret because people they think of what it was like at the age of five.
Yeah.
But give beets a chance, if I may suggest.
Right.
You know, you can't write this stuff, Rita Conley.
I just can't do it. It's like off the top of your head. I know you're just a genius. All
natural chicken, short rib ravioli truffle cream and braised kale.
We're going for Craveable.
We're going Craveable. And again, kale. What a wonderful thing to bring back to a menu these days, Jeff.
So good for you. So flavorful. It lends itself to so many different applications. It's really, really a great green.
Just gorgeous.
And I'm learning to like kale. I have to be honest with you. I'm learning to like kale. I'm more of a spinach person, you know, but I'm learning to like kale.
You know what you do? And I've been doing this with my kids at home. Oh, my oldest is off to college now. But we buy some fresh kale, sprinkle it with a little olive oil, some salt and pepper, put it in the oven, and bake the kale. And bake it until it's crispy. And Rita, they're like potato chips.
Okay,
they're kale chips.
Great idea.
Kids are eating kale now.
Yeah.
Is that not you great confidence in the future of our society?
A beautiful plant.
Yeah, people really want to know what they're putting in their body. Yeah. You know, it's great. People are really educated.
Got a great glazed pork tenderloin with mac and cheese. You got to have mac and cheese.
Mac
okay,
and
so
cheese.
There he goes again.
Yeah.
Craveable,
right?
Rich. You know, I want a burrata. Mozzarella, creme fraiche, mac and cheese. Is that possible, Chef?
We can work something out.
I love it. And then Spanish paella. You know, you were on the news the other day. We're putting this paella together, and the way you assemble it is such. It takes intention. It almost takes the sort of right attitude to put a paella together. Paella is something that can be messed up very easily by someone who does not know what they're doing.
Right.
Is paella putting together a real authentic paella in the kitchen? Is that as challenging as it looks to non-chefs?
It is very challenging. It's a family kind of a dish that gets the family together, And to be able to assemble that in the short amount of time that we need to execute it for, you know, our guests coming in, that was the challenge, was to create an authentic dish that takes hours to be able to produce it quickly and have the same authentic flavors and textures.
Fabulous,
and,
it's fabulous.
And I think the paella is one example, and there's so many that there's just no room for cutting corners in the kitchen.
Absolutely not.
So you can get away with so much to cut time and to cut care and to get away with the minimum that your guests will never know. But you at Wildflower, you know.
Yeah, we know.
You know, we know. So time and intention are two things that you do not want to sacrifice. And I think this paella is a great example.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of work that went into it. That was our focus, is to create a great dish like a paella to be able to be done perfectly every time.
Love it.
Well, that's how I kind of think everything like that is at Wildflower, though. I really love your fish and chips. Absolutely kill me. You know, they're so good. I get up there and I go, I'm going to have something different, and then I go, no, I'm going to have the fish and chips. You know, because they're really good.
They kill you in a good way.
Yeah. Absolutely, totally good way.
I actually ask for the fish and chips for dessert when I'm up there. And I kind of get a weird look, and you know, Omar hears that and he says, "Oh, Matt must be back." But the dessert, key lime tart. This chocolate silk, I'm not familiar with Valrhona. So that's a type of chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Is that decadence defined?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh.
It's one of the best chocolates.
Valrhona chocolate silk, moist Spain. Devil's food cake, chocolate cream.
Mexico?
No.
Okay. I thought for some reason I thought it was Spanish.
And an Earl Grey fudge sauce.
Ooh.
You using Earl Grey tea in the fudge? We just talked about tea.
There we go. We have to promote these two people up.
I love it. Yeah, well, he's taken.
Well, I know,
he's taken.
Food-wise.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about Valentine's Day. Omar, I don't know if you were listening to the show on the way over, but we had Aurélie Bessier from La Palais de Thé. Sounded like an absolutely beautiful woman.
Oh, yeah?
And she knew her tea.
She has a husband, though.
Oh, she did talk about a husband.
Too.
All right. German chocolate cake rounds it all off at the third course. So, and let's just say that someone listening to our show right now does not have plans for Friday, February the 14th, and does not mind eating a little bit later on in the evening. You can still enjoy this wonderful lineup of romance-driven and executed cuisine, again, by the loving hands of Chef Omar Huerta. How can people make reservations for Valentine's Day?
Call the restaurant, 520-219-4230. You know, ask for a manager, because we'll have to find a way to fit them in. It'll be worth it.
One more time with the telephone number?
219-4230. 4230.
You know, if you mess up, you can always go Saturday night, too. You know you're going to have a good meal anyway. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, when I go to Wildflower, when I go on a Friday night, I can almost guarantee that I'm going to come back on Saturday, just because it's always such a show-stopping experience. Okay, enough is enough. I mean, we've talked about Valentine's Day. The food is sitting here. That burrata is just sort of, it's mocking me. It's just saying, why are you talking and why are you not eating? So, Chef, talk a little bit about this burrata one more time as we're going to go in head first.
Fresh mozzarella filled with a little bit of more mozzarella and cream. Mm. So right when you cut it with your fork, that cream should just pop right out. If you eat it with that heirloom tomato.
Oh, my goodness. Are you doing all that in-house, then? You're putting it all together. Beautiful. It's creamy. The mouthfeel. I love the way the food feels in your mouth. You know, and we take our food seriously, Chef.
Yes.
This burrata is a gorgeous, velvety mouthfeel. I mean, I almost feel like I'm cheating, but we deserve this experience, right?
This is
yes.
What's the drizzle on the top?
It's a 25-year balsamic. Delicious. A little sweet.
25-year. Oh, my, that's just like a gorgeous, almost like a port. You know, beautifully sweet and velvety with those greens and that heirloom. Okay. I've fallen in love. And I'm not ashamed to admit that I've fallen in love both with burrata and with Chef Omar Huerta.
The tomatoes are beautiful, too. It's the texture is works really well with the burrata.
Those are local heirloom tomatoes.
Local heirloom. And so there we go again with that local commitment, that ethic, that value system that is so important to Fox Restaurants and so important to us as consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if Rita would put the burrata down and leave some for the rest of... No, I'm kidding. This is great. I'm going in. So if there is any room left, we certainly want to pay homage to the bars of sin that you've put before us. Walk us through this this gastronomic delight.
So the bars of sin is our pastry chef Spike's ode to a Kit Kat. It is a grown-up Kit Kat. You'd have to taste it. There's not There's no words to describe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, grown up Kit Kat. I mean, it's, imagine a Kit Kat in a scene of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I mean, these are absolutely monstrosity of the bars of sin. Okay, so we're going to dive into those when we go to our commercial break. Because we want to give the opportunity for one of our listeners to experience Wildflower for the first time. Now, I can't guarantee you that when you get the gift card, you're going to be able to get it on Valentine's Day. But this gift card is going to be available for you to use anytime. Mm-hmm. And you are going to be Chef Omar Huerta's personal guest to experience Wildflower for yourself. Yeah. And this is really a lot of fun. Now, I have to remind our listeners, if you have won anytime in the last 30 days, please give another opportunity for someone else to call in and win. We want to share the love because there's only so much Omar Huerta to go around, ladies. And we want to share the love when we can. So anyway, we've talked a lot about Wildflower. I love this great restaurant right on Ina and Oracle in the, the Casas Adobes, the shopping center. An iconic Fox restaurant right here in Tucson. Fox, born and bred right here in Tucson. A Tucson, company started right here. The very first Fox restaurant. Mm-hmm. Now there are darn near 40 of them in six states across the country. We are so pleased to call Sam Fox and his team friends and family right here in Southern Arizona. So we want to ask a trivia question of our listeners, and the first person to call in with the right answer is going to get a gift card for Wildflower. Chef, what's a good question to ask our listeners today?
Let me think. What year did Wildflower open?
Oh, great question.
Good question.
Okay, so...
first Fox restaurant.
Okay, the first Fox restaurant. We want to know what year Wildflower opened its doors for the first time. If you think you know the answer to the question, give us a call right now at 880-KNST. That's 880-5678 for a chance to win a Wildflower gift card and a chance to meet Omar Huerta for yourself. Good luck! Stick around. We'll be right back.
Do you realize how many fantastic restaurants are in Tucson? He's your cheat sheet. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from the KNST studio with burrata lovingly dripping down my chin. Rita, how's that working for you?
It's absolutely the best. I love it. I could have it morning for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I could actually put the burrata and the bars of sin on the same fork in the same bite and not feel bad about it.
That would be interesting.
I don't know what Chef Omar Huerta would say about I don't know if that violates any Wildflower protocol. But anyway, the minute we went to a commercial, all of the lines lit up. We've got a lot of people here in our listening audience, Chef, that think they know the answer to the question, and we are going to go right to line one and say hi to Ken. Hey, Ken, how are you?
How you doing, Ken?
Real good. How are you, folks?
Doing great. What part of town are you calling from, sir?
From just north of the U of A.
North of the U of A. Okay, Ken, you got the sound of confidence in your voice. We want to know, what year did Wildflower open here in town?
1998,
he says. 98. That was a long time ago, Ken. 1998, Chef?
I think Ken is right.
Ken!
Yeah. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Good job, Ken.
I feel so sorry for Jadwin, Bob, and Karen, who were waiting on the other line thinking they won. But, Ken, congratulations.
Right, Ken.
You are the big winner. First caller.
Now, thank you, and I've eaten there several times, and it's really good.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, I'm sorry. I can't give you the gift card then. No, I'm kidding. Yes, you can go to Wildflower. So you've been to Wildflower before. Now, have you ever put your hand in the loving hand of Chef Omar Huerta? Have you met this gentleman, culinary rock star? All right, well, you're in for a big treat. So I want you to stay on the line, Ken, and Cindy right here at the studio is going to get out all your information. We're going to mail that gift card to you in the mail, and when you go into Wildflower, I want you to ask for Chef Omar Huerta by name and jump up and down and say you're the one that called in the radio show.
Good job, Ken. Look forward to meeting
you. Thank you.
Way to go. 1998. Has it been that long, Chef?
It has.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, long time.
Feels like it was just yesterday.
Does it?
Yeah. The first restaurant that started the entire Fox restaurant, a story, and it happened right here in Tucson. We have so much to be proud of here.
Well,
Rita.
You know, and I think Wildflower has one of the best patios in town. That patio is gorgeous. You're outside. You're protected from all the wind and dust and whatever. The sun isn't beating down on your head, but you're outside. It's beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful patios in the world, in Tucson at least.
Yeah, and the people watching there at Casas Adobes, a lot of fun.
Shoot, I already been into the Bars of Zin, and Matt took a picture. picture.
No, I set up the plate to make it look like it was brand new.
Okay.
All right.
So you can eat away, Rita Conley. So Valentine's Day, Friday, February the 14th, a couple of seats remaining. I'm sure your manager is fielding a round of phone calls right now, Chef.
Right now.
So what can we expect out of Wildflower in the post-Valentine's Day environment? You doing some happy hours? And talk a little bit about what you got in store.
We have a great happy hour from 3:30 to 5:30 every day, 7 days a week. And then we have a menu change coming real soon, the first couple weeks of March.
With spring coming.
Exactly.
We have a hint?
Yeah, really. He can't just drop on live radio and then move on.
No hints yet, but it will definitely be, with spring in mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
With spring in mind.
Spring in mind.
What are some spring, now we're not going to let you off the hook, Chef Omar.
No?
From produce, what are some great spring produce, fruits and vegetables that just scream spring?
You know, spring is a great time for a lot of fruits, but peas.
Yes.
Peas are huge. Peas shoots. English peas, peas and those.
Yeah. We're breaking them down, Rita.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so we're going to see some peas and some fresh snap peas and some pea shoots and Wildflower. Talk a little bit about putting a menu together and the process for that. So when the seasons change, do you sit down and say, what are you inspired by? What are the trends? I mean, how do you begin to approach the seasonal change?
It goes a few different ways. I'll sit down with my chefs and we'll bounce ideas off each other, and then we'll, maybe pick up a book or a magazine and be like, well, that's a good idea. And we start a dialogue, we cook some things for each other, see what works, see what doesn't.
So it's almost like just kind of hanging out in the sandbox a little bit and just playing around, right?
It's like a band.
It's like a band. Getting the band back
exactly.
together. You have a music past? You play an instrument?
I play a little guitar.
You play a little guitar? I'm a drummer.
Okay. All right, let's get together.
I mean, Rita?
No.
Can you shake a tambourine, girl?
I play the radio well.
So you mentioned you getting together with your chefs and kind of kicking some ideas around. Mm-hmm. How big is your culinary team there at Wildflower?
I have two sous chefs and then, I don't even know how many talented line cooks, prep cooks, pastry chefs.
Mm.
No, it's a really great team that we have there right now.
Absolutely. You have a lot to be proud of there at Wildflower. So how can people find out more information about you and make sure that all of our listeners know your hours of operation? Great lunch spot, power lunch spot, CNBC spot, during the day. Also, when the sun goes down, a really fun place to hang out and have an amazing culinary experience. Talk about your hours.
Our hours are from 11 a.m. till 9 p.m., and then on Fridays and Saturdays, we close at 10.
Every day of the week.
Every day of the week, 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
Our full menu's online, foxrc.com. Hours of operation, directions, everything you need to know is right there.
FoxRC.com.
Mm-hmm.
And check out Wildflower and just kind of sniff around and look at some of the other concepts. Now, do you and the chefs from some of the other Fox restaurants, is there like a fraternity, where you kind of get together and talk about what's going on?
For sure. Every summer, our company throws what we call a chef meeting. We get together. We have what we call the Chopped Challenge, a lot like the TV show.
Fun.
We break up into teams. We have like secret ingredients. We bust some stuff out. It's a lot of fun.
I love it.
I have to tell you that the front of the house always does really well too.
All right.
I'm real kind of persnickety about service.
Okay.
Part of my job, part of me, and I always think the Fox restaurants really have.
It's the whole experience. It's craveable food, craveable service, everything. We want you to want.
And
to
your
come back.
Your girlfriend would say craveable chef.
I guess
that's awesome for her. Anyway, if there's one item in Chef Omar Huerta's refrigerator at home, now I'm sure that Fox will let you go home from time to time and leave the kitchen in the hands of your very capable staff. But if you are down to one item at home in your refrigerator that Chef Omar Huerta that you cannot live without, what is that one thing?
Probably be cilantro.
Cilantro.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting. I've heard sriracha. I've heard beer. I've heard butter. I've heard bacon. But you, cilantro is what.
All those things are good.
Cilantro is exactly where it is for you.
Yeah.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Maybe not breakfast. Goes in a lot of food I make.
Chef Omar Huerta, executive chef from Wildflower American Cuisine. We absolutely love everything that you're about over there in Ina and Oracle, and we just make the recommendation strong enough for all of our listeners to go see him at Wildflower and really have a culinary experience, a cocktail experience, even a bubbly experience that is really going to change the way you think about food and beverage. And Rita Conley with the Tucson Weekly and Well-Fed Foodie on Facebook.
It's always,
always a pleasure having you here.
It's always a blast. Always a blast.
Please go to Facebook and like Well Fed Foodie.
A few more likes.
Well, you know, you better man your control room because they're going to be, your servers are going to be blowing up. Anyway, if you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be put up on our website early next week at onthemenulive.com. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Rita Connolly reminding you, if it's Saturday from 4 to 5, it's On the Menu Live. Cheers. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you at Wildflower.